Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Tina S. and I'm a recovered compulsive eater. Today is Thursday, June the 12th, 2025. Today we're reading from the Big Book on page 103, the second paragraph, starting with Someday We Hope, through two paragraphs, ending with We Have To, and we're commenting on both paragraphs. Today's readers are Martha Z., Tamara C., and Sherry D. OA Preamble. I'm sorry, let me give you the reference number for yesterday, Wednesday, June the 11th. The 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,512, that's 22512. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,513, 22513. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Michelle J. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, family. Michelle J. from Texas. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening, as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me serve.
Thanks so much, Michelle. And Herbert, would you like to unmute and read 12 traditions, please?
Yes, good morning. I'm Herbert, a recovering compulsive overeater from New Mexico, and here are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Three, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thanks, Herbert F. Okay, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and they keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study on the Big Book, and we're on page 103. And let's see, Martha Z, would you get us started, please?
Good morning, Tina. Thank you for your loving service. This is Martha C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God from outside of Philadelphia. Someday we hope that Alcoholics Anonymous will help the public to a better realization of the gravity of the alcoholic problem, but we shall be of little use if our attitude is one of bitterness or hostility. Drinkers will not stand for it. After all, our problems were of our own making. Bottles were only a symbol. Besides, we've stopped fighting anybody or anything. We have to. Oh, good morning, my friends in recovery. I wasn't sure I was going to have to read that last paragraph. It's all in italics. So in the beginning, it talks about, I'm hoping that Overeaters Anonymous is going to help the public to a better realization of the gravity, seriousness of the compulsive overeating problem. And I think we're AA was years ago. We do know some things. There are studies, brain chemistry studies, that say that food addiction has cocaine addiction. And we know when we read articles, they always talk about how important it is to not eat sugar, how unhealthy it is for us. And I think we can live in recovery and share what we know about it, talk to our doctors about it. But the part about the intolerance, I think I'm not going to share about that right now. I've actually mostly do not serve it to other people. Like when I'm entertaining and people actually seem to appreciate that, I always have something special like pineapple or like that. Anyway. And when my daughters were growing up, I really tried to feed them very healthfully while I was eating in secret my stuff while they were sleeping. Anyway, we did finally, when I got into recovery, we were all eating healthfully. And so our problems were our own making. And so on page 62, it talks about our troubles being of our own making. And I think that that's one of the most hopeful things, because we can't change other people, but, with the help of God, and program of recovery, we can try to change ourselves. So we could ask God for his help, for sure. And it talks about how we've ceased fighting anyone or anything. I love my favorite part. I guess it's on page 19. Let me see if I can find it. It says, most of us sense that real tolerance of other people's shortcomings and viewpoints and a respect for their opinions or attitudes which make us more useful to others. Our very lives as compulsive, as problem eaters depend on our constant thought of others and how we may help meet their needs. And that's what, we were just talking about on page 102. we read about how our job is to be of maximum helpfulness to others. So anyway, if we are trying to live in recovery and trying to share what we know about this disease, and that there is not only the problem, but there is a solution, and that we don't have to live that way again. And I am so grateful for that. I am so grateful for my recovery. I could not handle the challenges that are happening, especially right now in my life, without it. So anyway, I am not fighting anyone or anything. And then I always add to myself when I pray and I say, help me to cease fighting anyone or anything. And then I'll say, help me not to struggle. So today I am trying to leave things in God's hands. And I'll just say to
him. Gentle reminder.
Thank you. But I'll say, you know, help me to trust you. Help me to be at peace trusting you. Anyway, thanks for letting me share. I'm so happy to be with all of you.
Thanks for getting us started, Martha. I appreciate your share. Okay, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may have the opportunity to share too. And with that, I'll start taking a list. If you could give me your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from, if you'd like to share on this paragraph, these two paragraphs, mm-hmm. actually.
This is Jen A.
Tamara
C.
Jen A. Somebody C.
Tamara C.
Christina J.
Tamara.
Christina J.
Christina J.
Good, thank you.
Nicole F.
Nicole F. or S.
S is Sam.
S and Sam. Okay. Take a couple more.
Nick F.
Who is that?
Vasa
Nick F.
O.
And Vasa O. Okay, let's
Nick F.
up there,
Tennessee.
Tennessee, I got you, Nick. Thank you. You got Vasa O. Okay, if you could remind me of where you're calling from when we when you give me your first name and last initial, that'd be grateful. I'd be grateful. So we'll start with Tony B. followed by Jen A. Tony, would you like to unmute and share?
Thank you for your service. My name's Tony B, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater living in Scotland. And yeah, this is wonderful here at the end of this paragraph. And yeah, I was thinking about the first paragraph, but what came to mind with that was, okay, maybe we'll help. Maybe we can help the public to a better realization of the gravity of the alcoholic problem or compulsive overeating problem. But perhaps we may not be able to, and that's okay. You know, we help one another within Overeaters Anonymous. Of course, it's useful for public relations, for people knowing about us, for finding us, for coming in. But we're here, you know, we're the ones that really have this disease. I'm a real compulsive eater. I can help a real compulsive eater. And we gang together, we club together, and we help one another. Of course, yes, good if people understand so that they can pass it on and have understanding within families, et cetera, et cetera. But then this very last paragraph, our problems were of our own making. Bottles were but a symbol we had to fight, cease fighting, sorry, besides we have stopped fighting anybody or anything, we have to. And why do I have to? Well, if I want to be at peace, then I have to stop fighting everything or anyone. And because I'm someone who was absolutely incapable of moderating my emotions, and I was constantly in collision and feeling hard done by and victimized, demanding that you care for me or save me or give me special treatment and understanding, etc. You know, because I have that personality, it's so important that, because I'm so full of self, it's really important that I don't keep putting up my fists to fight. Because when I do, what was I thinking here? I wrote a few things down.
Yeah, that peace vanishes. So I start to glimpse a bit of peace, and then I put my fists up, and that peace vanishes. And I'm an extreme person as an addict. If I have an argument with my husband, for example, you know, I quickly come to the conclusion that I've got to leave him. You know, it's just that kind of extreme that I operate on. So it's really important for me not to engage in arguments. Otherwise, my life starts to unravel. You know, perhaps I do leave him and do another geographical and pick the food up again. You know, it just won't be long before. So I thank God for this program. Thank God that we know who we are and we stay together. And I love you all. I'll leave it there.
Thanks so much, Tony B. from Scotland. Next, we'll have Jen A., followed by Tamara C. Jen A., please share with us.
Good morning, sister. Thanks so much for taking the meeting. This is Jen A., recovered in Colorado. Thank you, God, for saving a girl like me. This bitterness, this hostility, the problems were of my own making. You know, I ate and I exercised and I threw down pills and potions like nobody's business and threw up in an American Standard toilet or in garbage trash bags or on the side of the road. It didn't matter. But you know what? That wasn't my problem. My problem was my thinking. It was this allergy of the body and this obsession in my mind. And that is what changes as a result. And it says bitterness and hostility. The girl that I was before I came in, I was very bitter. I was unpleasant. I was always, I got angry with people. And hostile, yep, I was pretty much in conflict, pretty aggressive. And I was poisonous to other people. I literally was. I was a poisonous thirst. When I came in a room, you know, I just spewed venom on people, and it was ugly. And I didn't come to Overeaters Anonymous because I wanted to be a better person. I came because I saw that people were getting thin, staying thin, and then their faces were also happy. So, you know, today I'm thankful because as a result of working the steps, living the steps, working with others, trusting God, loving God, trusting myself, and loving others. I have a new attitude and a new outlook upon life that is far better than anything I could have imagined. You know, I'm not as bitter. I can still be bitter. Don't get me wrong. You can ask people, but for the most part, you know, caring. I try to be gentle and kind, sympathetic. You know, and friendly and understanding with people and live in a peaceful spirit. That's what this program promised me, was peace and serenity. That's what I needed in my life. And I don't have to go sideways with people anymore, and I don't have to go crazy. And I can actually sit there and listen to people and seek to understand, not to be understood and not to be, you know, the clanging gong or the cymbal in the room, or to make, you know, threats to my ex-husband via text message. You know, I have good relations with my kids, you know, with the man I'm dating, with his children, with my family, with my employer. And I'm going through a really hard time with work right now. But yet my boss says to me in my one-on-one last week, you're still showing up, you're doing the deal. I mean, I've been waiting for HR meetings since the end of last quarter, and we're almost to the end of the next one by the end of this month. And I keep being pushed off, but I know God has a plan. It's not my plan, and I've got to wait on his timing. So I'm just really grateful, you know, for this loving service and for this program. And I'm so thankful for the man that sponsored me and all the people in my tribe that really have been there for me through thick and thin. So thanks, Tina, so much again. And everyone have an awesome day. With that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Jen A. from Colorado. Next, we have Tamara C., followed by Christina J. And Tamara, would you like to share with us?
I would. Thank you. Good morning. Tamara C., recovered in Missouri. Let's see. So the gravity of my eating problem. Yeah, this is a fatal malady, and it would be nice if the world could understand my disease, if the people in my life, if they could get how deadly serious it is that I abstain from the substances and behaviors that are a problem for me and work a spiritual program. But it's not my fight to make them understand. My concern is simply that I know the gravity of my eating problem. I know there's a solution, as has been mentioned. My solution is to get connected with a higher power and carry this message to the still suffering compulsive eater. My food behaviors are a symbol of the problems that are of my own making. Nobody did this to me. Nobody caused me to be a miserable compulsive overeater. And this paragraph, it seems to be suggesting that my problem is that I fight everything. Fighting everything. I control, I manage, I fix, I manipulate, I resist, I resent, I deny, I fight. And if I want to live, I have to stop fighting. I don't have to fight with the world or the people around me, and not even with the new prospects that I work with. This is concluding the chapter working with others, and it's telling me that I don't have to make them understand the nature of this disease or make them understand even the solution or the importance of them, you know, working a spiritual program. I can just let it happen. I can just share my experience and let it happen. And on page 93, it tells me that the main thing is that I be willing to believe in a power greater than me and that I live by spiritual principles. And that sounds so much better than fighting to try to fix myself and fix everyone around me. I'll pass with that.
Sorry. Thanks, Tamara C. from Missouri. Next, we have Christina J., followed by Nicole S. Christina, would you like to?
So good to hear you on the line this month. I just grabbed onto the word gravity. I'm from North Carolina, by the way, at the moment. We're moving back to Washington soon. Gravity of my body weighing me down because it was so heavy. It's full of shame, self-centeredness, dishonesty, and fear. You know, myself, I learned in this program that this self I was walking around in this fat suit, was full of the worst of all fear that drove all the other. The fear drove my selfishness and my self-centeredness, wanting things my way, being dishonest about who I was. I didn't know who I was. You know, my resentments would grow. I would, you know, writhe in fear at night, not being able to control this thing. And this program helped me find out who I was walking around in that fat suit. And I was kind of horrified, but through this program and through working it daily, I've come to see those things as my grist for the mill, my grist for awakening that I get to chew on. The motor within me gets to chew on that love, that grist of love. Put that grist into the wheel of love and let it chew it up and show me the truth of who I really am. Because I'm not those things. I'm human, so I have stuff come up. I have old habit patterns, wounds that drive the machine. But this program helps me let go of those and sink into God, where I love to live today. I love to live in. And if I believe that God is everything or nothing, I don't have to live in fear. But, you know, I have to come to this point within myself before I'm really in fit condition to work with others. Because if I go in with a white-knuckling ego, I'm just going to bring, you know, bitterness and hostility to the meeting. And I love that line, drinkers will not stand for it. They'll run away from me. How can I help someone in those states of mind and body? All of my problems were of my own making, but I don't take guilt and shame in that because I didn't know. I didn't know I was living in a misery that I was creating myself. And I was trying to get relief from the food. So desperate to get relief from the food because I had such cravings from indulging in the, you just don't have any idea So if you're here today and you're in the food and you want to get to this place, you just got to start walking the path with someone that's loving and caring and will hold your hand and take you through. Because when you get through, you might not be done yet, but you'll get to a certain point. To me, there's these places in the road. We reach these marks in the road, and we learn, and then we might have to go back. I had to go back so many times, but I learned, and I don't regret any damn relapse I ever had because they were so painful. But they brought me to this deep understanding that I am chasing God within my heart like never before. And I have come to a place where I get to process these things daily. If you're fighting with the 10th and the 11th step and you've been through the steps, give yourself the gift of sitting down and really working one. There's huge gifts within those places. And that makes you more fit every day, to let God walk your steps towards the people he wants you to help. Love you all. I pass.
Thanks, Christina J. from North Carolina. Next, we have Nicole S., followed by Nick F. Nicole, would you like to share with us?
Good morning. This is Nicole S. from Colorado. Thank you, Tina, for your service this morning. And this paragraph, on these two paragraphs, made me think, am I showing a program of attraction? You know, it says we're a program of attraction, not promotion. Am I showing love and tolerance, you know, or am I showing bitterness or hostility? And, I can say a lot that I'm in that bitterness and in that hostility towards others. And that's not, it says drinkers will not stand for it. And that's not showing attraction to this program at all. And that's not going to help the public have a better realization of the gravity of our illness. I have to ask myself too, am I fighting? Am I still, fighting anybody or anything? For me, that's, when I'm fighting, I want everything to go my way. I'm not accepting life as it is. I'm wanting everyone to do as I see fit. I'm not staying in my lane, but focusing on others. And the opposite is when I'm not fighting, I'm letting God have all, I think of all mounds, like people, places, things, ideas. I'm giving it all to God. And I'm letting him direct me, and I'm performing his will for my life. And I think for me, I'm not saying I do it. I do it perfectly, even every day. I forget so much. But the 11th step is just so powerful when I'm paused, when agitated or doubtful, and ask for the right thought or action. And I'm constantly asking God, what is your will for my life? How can I be of maximum service to you by serving others and, staying in what his will is? And then I'm not fighting anymore. I'm accepting life on life's terms. And that's when I can be that program of attraction by my actions. Thank you for letting me share.
A page are we honored.
Thanks so much, Nicole. Can you remind me where you're calling from, please?
Hi, sorry. I'm from Colorado.
I still didn't get that, but sorry. Okay, Nick F., followed by Voss O. Nick, would you like to share with us?
Oh, good morning, family. This is Nick F. in Tennessee. Can I be heard?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, yes, ma'am. Thank you, my lady, for your service. Someday we hope that Alcoholics Anonymous will help the public to a better realization of the gravity of the alcoholic problem. I won't read it all again, but it's very powerful to me. That's what it said about the public. I feel I have a particular duty to try to carry this message into the public. And one of those places is, it's not public, but in my home with my kids and also on my job. I think I've earned the right to say this because I used to be a fat nurse. I'm a nurse, and I used to be well over 400 to 500 plus pounds. And So when I'm with my kids, I don't want my kids seeing me have to eat the food that I have to eat, being miserable, because I can't eat the food that they get to eat. Well, my kids are not compulsive overeaters. And if they are, then hopefully by them seeing my spirit, one day this program will be there if they need it. But that's not my drive to identify that today. As far as my kids go, again, you know, one day my son was looking at me, and we were making s'mores. And he said, oh, my goodness, Mom, if I couldn't eat s'mores and I had to watch you eat them, I'd just be miserable. And my son got to see me look at him and say, son, it's not about the s'mores. I am just excited that I'm getting to spend time with you and I get to see you have it, you know. And then, you know, on my job, I'm going to start a night shift job today, and I'm going to take my food with me to carry the message of Overeaters Anonymous. You know, they're going to see me having my meals. I need to be sure that I'm spiritually fit, for one. I'm sticking to what I bring. And then I have joy about it. I enjoy being absent. I enjoy being recovered. I enjoy having the meals that I have prepared. And I get to be of service that way to this fellowship for me. I like what it says, drinkers will not stand for it. You know, I'm an addict. At one point when people were talking about health, you know, being healthy or diets, I was wearing a 5X. I didn't want to hear that, you know. I have a lot of joy. I don't have bitterness and hostility today, and when I do, I get to share that with my sponsor in any of my programs. But instead of bitterness and hostility, I get to have joy. I get to have passion. I get to have liveliness. But I don't get to have all those things without sharing, you know, the depth and weight of the program as well, with my fellows and with newcomers, you know. Not cocaine, not heroin, not fentanyl. I'm talking about food. It stole my soul. I was wearing a 5X. I couldn't move. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't talk. I was in constant pain. I was in my 30s. And I'm still in my 30s, and I was in so much pain. I don't know if it said time. Maybe I should have said it myself, but I'll just close with this. When I got sober in AA, the lights came on. When I got recovered in OA, the lights came on. The symphony started singing. Everything in my life changed, and I'm just grateful to be here. With that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Nick F. from Tennessee. And we're going to have Vasa share with us. But before that, let me remind you, if you got on the line late, where we're reading from and sharing from is on page 103, the second paragraph. Someday we hope, through two paragraphs, ending with we have to, sharing on both paragraphs. And we'll just take Vasa, and then we'll take a new list of names. Vasa, would you like to share with us?
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm Vasa. Grateful recovered compulsive overeater calling from Foxborough, Massachusetts. Thank you, Tina, for your service. And this is an excellent reading this morning. And I love when we read only one paragraph at a time or two little ones. But anyways, looking back, you know, I had to start all over again. I did not know what I did not know about food addiction, about life and problems. I thought I was supposed to control all that by myself, by my own willpower. So I'm grateful that I found it differently here. I needed to find a power greater than myself to help me in this area, because God saved me, my higher power, from myself, that I couldn't do. All of a sudden I could do one meal at a time, one day at a time. I'd been fighting this food addiction for 25 years in my life since we came in America. We had to make up for lost time, all the foods that we'd have in the old country, make it up. But I love the promises. And I don't know if I have the time, but I'm going to read the second part. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even food. By this time, sanity will have returned. We'll seldom be interested in food. If tempted, we recoil from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we'll find that this has happened automatically. We'll see that our new attitude towards food has been given to us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. This is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither we are avoiding temptation. We feel as though we had been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. This is our experience. This is how we react, so as long as we keep in spiritual condition. And I have no problem talking about myself. And I have tolerance. I have tolerance for people that are in their addictions because I know better than today. You know, I know better. I have a disease, and I know what the solution is right here. Thank you for letting me share and I pass.
Thank you, Vasa O. from Massachusetts. Okay, now we'll take another list of names. Give me your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Sigrid F.
10WAP.
Is that Alana P?
Tanya
Joyce
P.
Joyce B from Illinois.
Tanya. I didn't get somebody from Illinois.
Joyce B.
Joy? B?
Joyce. J-O-Y-C-E. B as in
Joyce. Okay, thanks, Joyce. Take a couple more.
Maya K.
Sherry B, Maryland.
Who from Maryland?
Sherry D.
Sherry B. Sherry D.
Okay,
Pete D. Okay, let's stop there. We'll see if we have enough time for everybody here. Who I have? Let me tell you who I have. I have Sigrid F, Ken W P, Tanya P, Joyce B, I think Maya K, Sherry D, and Pete B. Not sure if we'll get with everybody, but let's get started. Sigrid followed by Ken. Would you like to share, Sigrid?
Yes, thank you so much. This is Sigrid F., formerly of Florida, now of North Carolina. The first paragraph talking about Alcoholics Anonymous and helping the public to better realize the gravity. Well, this is still happening for food, right? There's still so much prejudice in this world against people with food problems and obesity. But we will be of little use if our attitude is one of bitterness and hostility. And how true is that? Drinkers will not stand for it. Nobody will stand for it, right? If we are bitter and hostile, who's going to listen? No one. So really important reminder. To the privilege of being recovered and carrying the message in a kind and loving way, I think we'll get the job done. Where bitterness and hostility absolutely would do the opposite. And then the last thing in the paragraph, we have to. This really hits home for me. Yes, I have to. Food was a symptom of my problem. My problem was my broken thinking. And the way that I bridge from my broken thinking to serenity is through the steps. Put the food down, use the steps to fix my thinking, help me through, because it's really not all about me, even though my go-to is still think. Sometimes it's all about me. Starting to change, by the way, the more I practice, the more often I go, huh, look at that. Look, I reacted that way. But I have to. This is something I have to do. I want to do it, but if I don't do it, I will go back to the food. And I will become that bitter and hostile person again. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Sigrid F. from North Carolina. Next, we'll have Ken W. H. followed by Tanya P. Ken, would you like to share with us?
Yes, thank you. Good morning. This is Ken W. H. from North Carolina. I'm just aware that this paragraph is finishing up the whole thing, section on working with others, and it starts with, someday we hope that Alcoholics Anonymous, capital A, capital A, will help the public be a better realization, to a better realization. Alcoholics Anonymous as an institution is public in that respect. A lot of people have heard about it. They may not understand it. They may not have anything to do with it. They may have a lot of misconceptions about it, but Bill here is talking about the greater good that this collective, of which I am a part, can shed some light on things. But myself as an individual, if I'm out there angry or pounding a soapbox or something else, I'm not helping the organization, the collective. I'm not helping the other people who have saved my life, have been a part of this salvation process for me, that I need to be aware that I don't want to be a wrench in the works. I don't want to be a reason why some people will disparage Alcoholics Anonymous or Overeaters Anonymous. I need to think in the terms that I'm one among many and grateful to be one of those ones among many, and hope that a whole lot of ones can find their way here among us. But I can't do it by judgment, intolerance, and all those words we've been using here in the last few days. I just need to be aware of my need to stay in recovery and be recovered and follow the principles and practice the steps and all of that. That's my life. That's my part in this greater collective. As long as I take care of that, as long as I take care of me and stay in recovery and continue to grow one day at a time, I will be perhaps a helpful part of this collective. So that's how I kind of look at this, and I thank you for letting me share. And I pass.
Thanks so much, Ken W. P. from North Carolina. Next, we'll have Tanya P. followed by Joyce B. Share with us, Tanya.
Good morning. This is Tanya P., recovering in Michigan. The thing that comes to my mind this morning is that I'm acting as if I'm recovered. I've had lots of years in OA, and right now I'm in a personal crisis with my mother. As she travels through time and her dementia and makes up scenarios that are very scary, I know that if I don't stay out of the food, I will not be of service. If I lapse into bitterness, recrimination, and you did this and this, which I would do if I was in the food, because it would be all about me, that I can't be helpful to her, nor can I be helpful to my sister, who carries the weight most of the time. I'm just here during the crisis. And I don't very often say that I'm grateful to be an overeater, and I'm really not grateful to be an overeater, but I am grateful that I have this 12 steps and this program of recovery, because if I didn't, my prayer life would not look like it does. I would not have the people across the country that I know I can call. Even if I've never met you before, I know that you'll understand whatever it is I'm talking about. And I do love how God puts people together, and that, as Ken just said, it's really a privilege, and it's our responsibility to keep the name of OA and all the 12-step programs polished and ready to go, because this program saves lives. And I really appreciate being able to share this morning. Thank you. I pass.
Thanks so much, Joyce B. from Illinois. No, I'm sorry, Tanya P. from Michigan. Next, we have Joyce B., followed by Maya K. Joyce, share with us, please.
Thank you, Tina. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your service. Yeah, I love this paragraph, and I love the one in italics at the bottom. My life before recovery was a train wreck. I had tried every diet I could think of, bought every book on every diet, probably spent thousands of dollars trying to put the food down. And really, food was my solution. It wasn't the problem. When I did put the food down, then I could get to the real problems in my life. And those were all the character defects driven by fear, I was such a fearful person, and I have to laugh at myself now because I used to think I was tough. I'm not. I am fearful, and dealing with that and using the steps and getting to that place where I could look at myself with a clear lens and realize I needed recovery, I needed change in my life, I needed to use the steps, and I needed to put the food down every single day. That keeps my sanity, putting the food down and using the steps. And in doing that, God has done for me what I could never do for myself. He has given me such a beautiful life now in recovery, peace and serenity, joy, happiness. You know, not 100% of the time, but, you know, more often than not, I have such a good life that I am so thankful for. My relationships have recovered. My life is good now, and I've gone from a train wreck to peace and serenity. So I'm thankful for this book. I'm thankful for the steps. I'm thankful for recovery. I am thankful for OA. Thanks for letting me share. Joyce B. from Illinois.
Thanks, Joyce B. from Illinois. Next, we have Maya K., followed by Sherry D. Maya, share with us.
Hi, I'm Maya K. from New York, and compulsive overeater in recovery. And I guess I just wanted to share.
I haven't shared in a while. Sorry. And I just, the way I related to the paragraph, I guess, was just the tone that it's talking about. Definitely seems very important to me. My sponsor is awesome. The way she's helped me over the years, it's just been amazing. I know I grew up in a really critical household, and I've just felt so much love for the past 30 years from my sponsor. I feel so blessed, and I came into the program wanting to die over this disease. And, you know, I don't like to, I just try to be there for people in this, with this program, like, that I never had, like, what can I give to you? I was really involved, like totally self-centered, and it really changed my life. Where when I'm having trouble, I just try to think, what can I do for someone else? This program's amazing. It's just given me so many tools, and I'm not perfect, you know. But I don't know what I'd do without OA, and I do know I try to keep an open mind on the line, but I do know I steer away from anything that doesn't feel that feels too critical. It does turn me off, so I try not to be like that with people, And I do 10 steps all the time. I'll say, like, I hope I didn't, you know, overstep my boundary. But when I hear someone suffer and I offer, I say, you know, this helped me. I try to be vulnerable enough to share what would help me. And I find that they're very grateful. But I don't push anything on people. I guess that's really all I have to say is just, like, the spirit of love is what I feel like backs this up. And I just try to be kind to people like I want them to be towards me. So that's all I have to share. Thanks.
Thanks, Maya K. from New York. And next we'll have Sherry D. followed by Pete B. Share with us, Sherry.
Hey, everybody. Sherry D., compulsive overeater in Maryland. So very grateful to be here. What a great meeting. Oh, my gosh, the time has flown. We shall be of little use if our attitude is one of bitterness or hostility. So I can tell you when I first came into the room, I was quite bitter. I looked at the first step and I admitted I was powerless and my life was unmanageable because of everybody else. It was not my fault. I refused to take responsibility for my disease. It was everybody else's fault. I blamed circumstances. I blamed, you know, parents, everybody. But eventually, and when I told my sponsor that, she smiled and said, keep coming back. Because she knew what was ahead for me. She knew that the steps were ahead for me. Eventually, I had to face the truth. The problems were of my own making. This book reminds me personally that, you know, the bottles, the bags, the bowls, whatever, are a symbol. It wasn't the core problem. It was my way personally of coping with my problems. Underneath was so much fear and resentment and a spiritual sickness that I could not outrun. And recovery has taught me to stop fighting anybody or anything, including the food, including the people, including myself. I've learned in these rooms. I've worked hard in these steps. There's a lot of action to be taken. I worked very, very hard, and I learned from listening to you all that the solution isn't in resistance, but in what our friend says in this meeting so often, surrender, surrender, surrender. It's humility and honesty and helping others. If I'm full of judgment or hostility, I'm actually closing the door to the very people that I'm trying to reach. So today I try to lead with love. I try to remember that I was just as lost, just as scared, just as sick. And, you know, thanks to this program, I found the grace that came with it, and I don't have to live like that anymore. I am different, and I'm so very grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Sherry D. Now, Pete B., share with us.
Thanks, Tina, for taking the meeting. You're doing a great job and appreciate your service. My name's Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. And this is, you know, we say a couple things in every single meeting I've ever been to, right? The one thing that gets said at almost every meeting is the serenity prayer. And the other thing that's said at every meeting are the steps. Right, and the serenity prayer asks us to accept the things I cannot change. That's everybody except for me. Right? And to change the things I can, that's me. Right? I've been given the resources, the faculties, the character, the capabilities to change in me which needs to be changed. And the wisdom to know the difference. And the one thing I know that I can't change in me is the abnormal reaction that my body has to the substance and ingredients that trigger the phenomena of craving. And I'll never be able to change that. That lives us forever. Right. And the other thing that we talk about, the steps. And in those steps is step 12, which asks us, you know, after having a spiritual awakening, as we go over this these steps, we try to carry this message to other sick and suffering alcoholics, right? And this message has specific words, and those words have specific definitions, and it uses specific punctuation, and it has context and tense, and all of those are relative to this message. And if we stray from that, we stray from this message and we water it down and we try to change it to try to help other people get a better realization of the gravity of the problem. And that I don't see based on our successes, based upon our history, as being very successful. Right? But my job as a recovered individual or somebody in recovery is to carry this message. Now, some people may perceive that as, you know, not being tolerant or not being loving and understanding. And I you know, that's understandable, right? But, you know, another fellow, not in this fellowship, but a spiritual person has had a saying that be the change you want to see in the world, right? And this is a condition that lives in ambiguity. It lives in the grayness. It lives in the uncertainty. And my belief is that as a recovered individual, we need to bring the clarity. We need to bring the clear message of recovery and what this program has to offer and be the demonstration. And that's the only thing we have control over. That's the only, that's what actually, the whole purpose of these meetings is for, is to carry the message and to be here for the next sick and suffering person. So it's a wide road. It's a great fellowship. I have heard a person say one time that we have a wrench for every nut. And I'm so grateful for what we have, and I'm so grateful for this life. And with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, PP from Pennsylvania. Okay. Thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Thursday, June the 12th, 2025, is 22,519. That's 22519. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Okay, who's reading? Let's see, Tamara C. reading page 164. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Tamara C., recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until...